This talk was given by Bear Gokhan Bonabacher at Zen Mountain Monastery. Gokhan is a senior monastic in the Mountains and Rivers Order. This talk, like all of our talks, is offered free of charge. If you would like to make a donation, please visit our website at zmm.mro.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
Georgia O'Keeffe said, "Nobody sees a flower, really. It is so small. We haven't time, and to see takes time. When you take a flower in your hand and really look at it, it's your world for the moment. I want to give that world to someone else. Most people rush around so they have no time to look at a flower. I want them to see it whether they want to or not. To see takes time." I've been appreciating the simplicity of my life, what feels like the growing simplicity, learning to allow simplicity, and beginning, I think, to see what's always been there, and what's been so close that I couldn't see it, and kind of so plain that I couldn't believe it was what I was looking for. I've been appreciating simplicity and silence just for themselves and for what they show us, what they can show us, allow us to see. As I was working on this talk, I thought of this line from Georgia O'Keeffe because I remembered it from long ago when Sean and I were first together and were hiking in California doing a long trip on the Pacific Crest Trail. And towards the beginning of the trip, we weren't doing the whole thing, but there were folks who were gunning to do the full Mexico to Canada, 3,000 miles in one season, and they were kind of passing us by, and we were getting to know them a little bit as they passed us by. And the way you do the trip is you send food to yourself to post offices along the way, and along the way you kind of go off to the side and drop down to the post office to get your food drop. And at one of these post offices, there was a set of stamps of Georgia O'Keeffe's flowers and a display. And the display included this line: "Nobody sees a flower, really. It is so small. We haven't time, and to see takes time." And one of the fellows that we had met, who was doing the whole trail, had been arrested by this line and stopped and realized that he wasn't seeing the amazingness that he was walking through. As we entered the High Sierras in the beginning of spring, and so he had stopped. He wasn't doing the trail anymore. He was just looking. I remember, you would see these guys kind of chugging along the trail, like one after the other. And I remember seeing him just sitting on a rock, looking out, taking the time. So we've been given the time to see, sitting here in Sesshin. Last month, I had the opportunity to do Sesshin at another center, which I really appreciated. Thank you. It was a really interesting experience. It was different, and it felt like in its difference, it allowed me to see anew what we do, to see and appreciate our practice, particularly our practice of Sesshin, the different parts of Sesshin, all of these different places in Sesshin that are offered to us, these places to enter. it really made me appreciate the silence of Sesshin, the importance of Sesshin, of silence during Sesshin. I think we can forget how precious that is, how much we need to keep turning back to that and entering that. It made me appreciate work practice, liturgy. The way that we practice together as a Sangha. That although we are alone in the silence of Sesshin, alone in our Zazen, and should allow that, that we very much do this together. When I give instruction in Zazen, one of the things that I often say is something about how the challenge of Zazen is to allow it to remain simple, allow it to be as simple as it is. Can we allow our Zazen to be really spare and uncomplicated? Its power, I think, lies in that. We really don't have to do anything, make anything happen. We don't have to look anywhere else. And this is true of all of these practices that we do during Sesshin, these very simple practices. Kinhin, caretaking, oryoki, liturgy. Really let them be simple and not try to figure them out. Not to change them in the little ways that we change them to make us fit, to make them fit us better. We kind of change them in our own image. I was thinking about how over the years I've wanted these simple practices to be less, to be more exciting, to be something other than they are. To take me somewhere else. Now, because of this, I've overlooked them, undervalued them. And I think this is kind of the danger of the, we can miss kind of the dangerous side of the simplicity, is that we can miss what's there, miss what's being offered. Or kind of give up. And so speaking from my own experience, to kind of stop looking, stop seeing that this is a place to enter. Often by just kind of letting the thoughts quietly continue and actually be quietly thinking while we're doing oryoki or while we're chanting. Right, that there's a full dialogue going on underneath that. And then we just kind of let that persist. Because we're doing it, feels like we're participating. But the danger is that we're not really practicing anymore. We're not looking anymore. Someone asked me last week about work practice, and it was like, so do you still have thoughts? Like, is it just quiet? Of course they're thoughts. Right? That's not, I think there will always be thoughts, right? It's practicing. That's what's important. I remember when I was first starting to practice, at one of my young Dharma friends saying, you know, you can't just walk, talking about Kinhin. We should investigate that, find our own way in over and over. So allowing things to be simple in our mind, in our actions. Kind of to allow this to be a practice of Sesshin, to allow Sesshin to be simple. And in that, to learn how it is not to be busy. To see busyness, how we create busyness, and to let ourselves not be busy. During our practice this spring, there was a spot in the woods where I would go and sit and just sit with all the different things that were there. And it's kind of amazing how much is actually going on. All of these different things doing their things, living their lives, so close together, pressed up against each other. And it's all very simple. And sitting there and sometimes feeling how I was part of that, not apart from that. And sometimes sitting there and seeing how I had brought complication with me, how I was creating complication where none had been there. Okamura Roshi says, in Buddhism, things free from attachment are immaculate. All things are immaculate when we allow them to be, when we allow them to be as they are. We allow them to exist in their simplicity and be wondrous. I love that line. We too are wondrous. Uchiyama Roshi says, that which is wondrous and infinite cannot satisfy our desire to grasp things. So that when we grasp something, it isn't wondrous and infinite anymore. How do we encounter a simple thing, a flower, and allow it to be our world for the moment, and allow it to be wondrous? And I also have been kind of reflecting on this line to know that we're not going to be satisfied in our usual way of looking for satisfaction. We're usually trying to grasp the flower, the beauty, somehow hold on to it. And that's to allow it. That we have to let go of that way of trying to be satisfied. The Desert Fathers said, sit in your cell and it will teach you everything. And so sitting right there in that one place in their cell, that's where they would find God. That's where they could find God, not by going anywhere else. And reading their stories, their sayings, from their experiences, their cells were also where they met their demons. Anger and jealousy, their strong desires, their laziness and arrogance. What we might call the hindrances, or simply the parts of ourselves that we see. And so, of course, this is also what silence and simplicity offer us, allow us to see. Kind of whether we like it or not. So that Georgia O'Keeffe line about wanting people to see whether they like it or not. I don't know if you can make someone really see. Her flowers are like, see me. They fill the frame. I understand what she's saying. But intention is important. And so sitting, allowing our minds to settle, we also have to want to see, be willing to see. And so appreciating also how silence and simplicity allow us to see the parts of ourselves that are difficult to see. Both difficult because they're uncomfortable, but also difficult because they're difficult to see. It takes time to see. It takes time to see our mind. And so we put ourselves in this simple environment, let go of the things of our life for this time, as much as we can. Stopping and seeing so that we can kind of step back to see our thoughts, to see what we turn to in our mind, what we kind of take refuge in our mind, to see where we live. I gave a talk a few months ago about using a line from Deepa Ma that says, your mind is all stories. And clearly it resonated, because we all know that aspect of our mind, the strength of the stories that we tell, the power of the stories. And it's so important to see that, to study that, to know what is the nature of these stories that we tell ourselves, that we define ourselves with. Where does their power and allure come from? But also important, what is the mind that is not stories? To know that we can let the stories rest. We can learn to let our minds rest and see between our thoughts, the space around our thoughts. What is that? Since that's what all these practices are inviting us to see, to look at, what happens when we let go of the thought and just walk, just sit. Just eat. To let go of the constant talking to ourselves. To know that we can do that. To want to see that. To gently just let it go. These last couple days, as I was working on this, kind of had it in mind as I was sitting, I was kind of looking at the thoughts that came up and just trying to note whether any of them were actually important or kind of helpful or doing anything. And there might have been a few about, you know, I was thinking about the talk. But almost none of them, as far as I could see, were actually, it was really just like stuff being repeated or coming up to like look at again. Kind of just distraction, just filler, it felt like. And, you know, most of my thoughts aren't actually that interesting. So why are they so interesting? And so this is also seeing. This is also why we stop. This is really important. And then to see that below thoughts often are more thoughts. These are the thoughts that are more difficult to see. And so quieting allows us to see these deeper, quieter, hard-to-hear thoughts that we really have to take time to listen to. For me, for years, this was really important. Early years of practice was seeing that as my mind did settle, I was able to hear these quieter, softer, insistent, constant thoughts. They were my thoughts. They were constantly judging, constantly criticizing, constantly attacking. And that I couldn't hear, I didn't know they were there until I quieted down. And then I still had to quiet down more to really hear that their constancy, their whisper, their constant whisper. I could only hear them during Sesshin, but they were always there. And then hearing them, facing them, knowing them, then they were more workable. They were workable. They were let go-able. Recently, I was seeing other things that weren't my words, weren't words. I could put words to it, to what I was feeling once I saw it. There was stuff going on. I could see that on the surface. I was was doing things, saying things that were not untrue. And then as I settled, kind of let myself settle through that, I could see that there was something deeper, something older, kind of an old wound that was being uncovered or revealed. And so again, to allow ourselves the time to the space, the silence, to listen deeply to all of these parts of ourselves so that they can become familiar. Because somehow all of this, all of what we encounter, all of what we see and hear and experience in ourselves is okay when we encounter it. And so that seeing a flower or seeing my anger, paranoia, every part is okay because it's part of us, because we can work on it, work with it, learn from it, learn from studying it. I read something recently about kind of a different presentation of meditations. It was interesting to see how it was very similar in different words. But there was some emphasis on this being a non-violent practice, a non-violent approach to dealing with any obstacle. And he pointed out that turning an obstacle into a gate, basically, into a teacher, is the kind of most powerful form of nonviolent action. And so that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing when we allow ourselves to see directly our obstacles and then work with them. So to see takes time. And Sesshin allows us this time, allows us this time to not be busy, to just be simple, to just be direct. gives us the space where we can listen and look and feel, listen with all the different parts of ourselves, and work at accepting and working with whatever it is that we see. You know, it feels like everyone should have time like this. Everyone should have time like this. But it's precious. It's rare. Even those of us who do this a lot, it is precious. It is rare. So let us hold that, know how precious this is, and allow our practice to be simple. Allow it to be simple. Allow each thing to be simple. Come to each thing simply and open. Allow it to reveal itself to you.
Thanks so much for listening. The monastery's quarterly journal, Mountain Record, has a new home at mountainrecord.org. For over 30 years, Mountain Record has been offering spiritual seekers of all faiths a unique journey through words and images. Each quarterly issue delivers a thought-provoking array of classic teachings, contemporary wisdom, stunning photographs, and news from the Mountains and Rivers Order. For more information, to subscribe, or to read our open access articles, visit mountainrecord.org.